Feel good in the Lord tonight? Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. Amen. Amen. Matthew 25. We're going to start in verse 14. Just want to say publicly how much I appreciate my wife. Sunday night she sings, and it's my time to enjoy the 16-month-old that God blessed us with. And it's a little tougher for her to bring him to practice with her like she did so that I could prepare last minute here. And so I appreciate my wife. Amen. A little shameless plug. Earning of points. Amen. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 14. Lord, help me. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he also who had received 2 gained 2 more also, but he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5, and look, I've gained 5 more. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also who had received 2 came and said, hey, I got 2 more. And the Lord said the same thing. Well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. I got that 1 talent back at least. I didn't lose it. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Pastor called me this morning, asked me to be ready this evening to fill in for him. And during worship this morning, just randomly, I don't even know why, but just the thought of fear came into my head, and this parable popped out to me, and I just felt like, okay, God, this is where you want to go. And a parable is simply a story that has some meaning or lesson behind it. This is one that is familiar and has been here at Calvary Gospel Church, been preached many times here. But the thought this morning that came to me is about the third guy who was given the least of the 3 men and yet did nothing with what he was given. Why? It says he was afraid, simply because of fear. And God began to deal with my heart in the context of our theme this quarter. That's the empowerment, the series that Pastor was going to start today. I don't know where he's going with it, with the series, but he's referred to the thought of God empowering us to our purpose. This was the case in this parable. The 3 guys had 1 purpose. Matthew's account doesn't tell us what the master said, but in Luke's account it says in Luke 19:13, he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. That word occupy means busy oneself or to trade. And so we saw that in Matthew where the 1 with 5, the 1 with 10 traded and made another 5. Whatever, however they did it, they profited. Basically, he was saying, go out, make me some money while I'm gone. Here's some money, make me some money. They had purpose. Here's what I want you to do. They were also empowered. He didn't just say, hey, go make some money. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I expect you to make money. And it's like, well, what are the he gave them resources. He gave them the talents, the money that they could start with, the seed money, so to speak. And they were empowered for a specific purpose. They got the same instructions, yet when it was time to reconcile, when the master came back, got his report, only 2 of the 3 had fulfilled that purpose. The guy with the one talent didn't do anything. Let's read it again in verse 25 of Matthew 25. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Simply because of fear. So before Pastor begins this empowerment series, someone tonight needs to hear this thought. Empowerment crippling fears. Empowerment crippling fears. Anybody have any fears out there? What are you afraid of? Who's afraid of heights? All right. There's some of you are, some of are, but others would have no problem jumping out of a perfectly normal and good airplane. I don't get that. You are nuts. I may have told the story before, but I'm horrible with heights. I have a big fear of heights. We bought our house a few years ago, and Thanksgiving time came around, and you have to decorate the house. Christmas lights, you know? It's required by the neighborhood Christmas cheer committee. And like, oh, bah humbug, you know, there's a Scrooge. There's the Grinch. So it came time to decorate, and you know, I think I'm all ready. We got one of those ladders that's like telescoping ladders. You know, they're kind of steel, metal, whatever they're made out of. And they're like this, and they can go really high. But then if you really want to go high, then you can just fold them out flat, and it's like flat against the – anyways. So I'm like, dude, this is amazing. I'm a homeowner. I got a ladder. I got Christmas lights on clearance from Target. You know, I got the little cheapy clips. Probably the why. That's probably why I shouldn't have. Anyways, cheap clips don't work. Anyways, but I start on the right side, and I'm going to go up, and we have it goes up like this, like an eave, and then it like wraps around kind of the front door, and then this really big eave. So I start on this side. I'm like, okay, I'm going to work my way around. I'm fine. I get it plugged in, so I have the lights on while I'm doing it, and, you know, there's probably a neighbor watching me laughing. But anyways, and so I work my way up, and I realize, you know, I get it taller and taller, the ladder, and realize, okay, for that first eave, and that's not even the tallest point, and I'm like, I have to go, you know, bend it out straight, and, you know, it's probably what, I can't measure, I'm not good at visualizing things. So anyways, it's really high. And so I, you know, yeah, I'm using a ladder, I'm awesome. I'm not a tool guy at all, so keep that in mind as you're envisioning this. And so, you know, I get the ladder, you know, leaned against the house, which was, you know, enough work in it of itself. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going up there. And I get to the top, and like, I get paralyzed with fear. And I'm like, I can't do this. And I'm like, you know, on the, maybe the third rung from the top, you know. And I'm like, you know, at a certain point, you start to, like, if you go straight, you, like, you know, that feeling, all those are afraid of heights, know what I'm talking about. You're like, okay, I'm going to fall backwards here, you know. And I was terrified. And so, like, I'm, like, trying to do it, and I'm like, okay, I can't do this. So I go down, and I'm, like, psych myself up, like, this is not that bad, Phil, you're a man, you know, you're a homeowner, it's just, like, you know, 15 feet, like, you can do this. And so I'm, like, you know, went inside, had a Dr. Pepper or something, I don't know. Anyways, and so I come out, and I'm going to do this. And I'm like, okay, just go as fast as you can. Just get up there and just, well, I get up there, and immediately it's just like you get to that certain level, and it's just like, this is terrifying. And all you guys who like climb ladders and like those who go up, you're like, what a wimp. But I'm terrified. And yes, my wife ended up having to go up there. Anyways, needless to say, I bought laser lights, some extension cords in the ground, and my house is amazing. Best looking house in the block. Laser lights are awesome. Amen. You know, and I'm thinking, what if the ladder tips back and that neighbor is videoing? And anyways, it's amazing how fear works. You can be fine, and you can mentally process things and be okay with it, but then when you face that fear head on, whatever that fear may be, mine's heights, and you can't move. You can't take action. Like, literally, like, I could not, like, my legs are shit. Like, I could not do it. And I know it's a mind game. I know it's probably just mental. But I could not do it. Thankful for a wife who can climb ladders. Amen. So let's take a look at a few fears that can cripple the purpose that God wants to empower us with. As humans, we are not prone to, nor are we taught to, show weakness. Rather, we tend to project a front that all is good, that we've got our life figured out. We're fine. I'm okay. We're rock solid. Everything's all right. We can handle everything. But if we are truly being empowered to fulfill a supernatural purpose, there is some vulnerability that needs to take place. Now, this whole message applies to those who may not even have had a relationship with Jesus Christ yet. You've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, never been baptized. Maybe this is your very first time hearing about God. Maybe all the way to those who have been here for several years, maybe involved in like a 101 ministry level, or those who have been here many, many years and you've gone through 301 and you're involved in leadership. God wants to empower us, Pastor preaching back in January about getting ourselves outside of our comfort zone. Well, if we're truly honest with ourselves, if we are going to be empowered, whether it's taking a step in this thing called Christianity and a relationship with Jesus, or it's going to another level outside of our comfort zone, there's some vulnerability that has to be there, that, you know what, an honesty that says, I really don't feel comfortable. I have questions. I don't know everything. I'm completely and solely dependent upon God empowering me. You know what? If this is your first time, there's probably a lot of questions. Brother Seidel, Pastor Seidel talked about it this morning when he first came in and was like, these guys are nuts. I'm never going to be like them. Well, it's just a matter of knowledge and understanding and growing in the Lord. And there's got to be some vulnerability. Like, I don't know if I'm necessarily understand everything that's happening. But you know what? I'm going to take a step in God and be vulnerable. Or, hey, I've been involved in ministry and chilling and doing great things, and God is calling you. Hey, I want you to step out and begin to maybe become evangelist. Like, whoa. There's some vulnerability. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, God. I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't know everything. To be vulnerable for a minute, being asked to preach and only have one short period of a few hours in a Sunday afternoon to prepare a message like I had today, that's very difficult for me. I'm a planner. I'm an organizer. I need time to structure thoughts and structure things. And I can relate to Paul when he said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 through 4, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This is Paul. Paul, who was crucifying Christians at one time, who knows the Jewish law, who knows everything about God, and yet he after his conversion, and now he's being used in a mighty way, preaching to the Gentiles, and he tells the church at Corinth, you know what? I was with you, and I was scared to death. Why? I don't know exactly. We don't know exactly, but there was a week he's being vulnerable. I don't know everything. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing man's words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Today, I wanted to just grab a message from about 4 years ago that hopefully no one would remember and just re-preach it, you know, change the title or, you know, update the, like, oh, it was 5 years ago that instead of last year this happened, you know, just change the verbiage. But God had someone in mind tonight that needed to hear this. And I couldn't get away from it, and I tried, and like, God, it's not me. But a fear of being vulnerable or showing weakness can cripple the work of God in our lives. God is calling everyone to lay aside self and come unto him because he can help us. But coming down to the front to pray in response to this message requires us to show vulnerability, to respond to the call of God and say, I want a relationship with you, child, and Jesus is calling us to have a relationship, and for us to say, I need a Savior. You coming up, yes, there's some vulnerability with that. And there's a fear, like, everyone's going to look at me. Everyone's going to think I'm weird because I'm going to the front, or I have problems, so I'm just not going to go. No, we need to be vulnerable and say, I don't have it all together, and that's okay. It's okay not to have life altogether. I don't think any one of us has life entirely altogether. There's things we're always working on or needing to work on. Amen. Fiona and I worked with youth for 8 years and have seen our share of young people that have just put on a front. That's all they are, is this front. And let's not pick on the young people. There's some adults who, that's all they are, is just a front. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool with it. Everything's all right. Yeah, yeah. We actually had one girl that that had an outburst at an event. Sorry, Fiona. And started mouthing off, acting all tough. And I'm trying to calmly deal with it. Well, Fiona comes unglued in a way, in her way, and begins to confront her. And she really pushed the envelope. And here, I was just standing thinking, my wife is about to beat this girl up. Like, the guy who's never hit someone in his life, well, maybe my brother, but, like, I've never hit anyone in my life. I slapped someone. That was a great story. You ask me later. But anyways, I've never hit someone. Stop the guy, and it's awesome. Anyways, eighth grade. Glory. But I've never hit, and here's my wife, like, I'm afraid, like, she's going to beat this girl up. Like, well, Fiona had her days as a young person and knew the whole front. And knew that this was all just a facade, and like she's trying to act all tough to so we would ignore her and her issues and deep underneath the front issues. And sure enough, Fiona backed her down, and it was kind of like, and she just broke down, and we were able to minister to her, and really she was able to be vulnerable to us. Why? Because she realized that a front, we can't. Fiona called the bluff. She backed down, and I was just relieved they didn't come to fisticuffs. We don't need to be afraid of being vulnerable with God. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are vulnerable, we expose our weaknesses. That's a scary thing. Yet it's in our weakness that God's strength is shown in our lives. To say, you know what, I don't have it all together, and God can be like, well, I do. Well, I'm going to help you. And then we see the God's strength where we could never have figured out a situation. God's strength is seen in that weakness. We need to lay aside the fear of being vulnerable. I'll never forget the day and a half that we spent with Josiah's birth mother in the hospital down in Mississippi. His birth mother went into labor out of the blue on a Saturday afternoon. We left town a couple hours after getting word that she was headed to the hospital. On the way down, we found out that our soon-to-be son was born. We drove through the night, took a brief two-hour nap, went to the hospital to meet him and his biological mother. Working with youth all those years really helped us because she was definitely a young lady of fronts. She flat out told us that she didn't cry, that she doesn't hug anyone. She was a tough cookie. But somewhere along that day and a half, and I don't remember exactly when, but she made a comment at some point about her fear of what we would think of her and her mistake. And so our next fear that we have to move past or give to God is the fear of judgment. Josiah's birth mom was strong, total front, trying to put on the act until it was time for discharge. The social worker told her that it was time to go. She was holding Josiah in her arms, and we had the car seat there, and social worker was like, you want to put him in the car seat yourself? And she's like, yeah, I'll do that. And that simple action of putting Josiah into the car seat, letting him go from her arms for the last time, was what broke it in her. The floodgates opened, and the girl who wouldn't cry because she was tough began to weep and weep and weep. The girl who wouldn't hug anyone, or so she said, held on to us for the longest time. Such a powerful moment. And you know what she got in return? Not a single judgmental thought or word from Fiona and I. We cried with her. We prayed with her. I went away with an awe of a young lady who carried a child for 9 months and willingly placed that child in someone else's arms because she knew she couldn't take care of it. What strength. The easy road when you make a mistake of this nature is to go to a clinic, discard the life. But what strength she had to do what she did. One of the saddest life stories in the Bible is that of King Saul. Here was the first king of Israel, celebrated, had it all together, chosen by God, yet he feared what people thought of him. And the final conversation between him and the prophet Samuel is found in 1 Samuel 15. And in verse 24 it says, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. King Saul was worried about the judgment of his circle of friends, the folks that he was in charge of. He was worried what others would think. That fear of judgment can cripple what God wants to empower us to be. I've seen young people working with youth all these years, and there may be some here tonight, that some of you have felt a call of God on your heart for ministry someday. And I've seen young people who were worried about what their peers would think if they would actually express that God is dealing with their hearts to be a preacher, an evangelist, to be a missionary. If you've messed up, if you're human like the rest of us, yeah, there may be some naysayers out there, some folks in your life that you need to remove from your life, as Pastor has preached about the last few weeks. But God will never judge you and say, well, I can't empower them. They've done or said some awful things. So I'm just, oh yeah, you're vulnerable. Nope, you're not good enough. I'm going to judge you. No, God and the folks who are led of God and in your corner are going to look at you and say, wow, despite everything that they've messed up or despite where their life has gone that they didn't want it to go down that road, look at the strength that they have to say, you know what, I'm going to allow God to empower me to do something amazing. What strength. So we need to give the Lord that fear of judgment. If God is going to empower us, we have to give him control of our lives. He has to be Lord or ruler of our lives. We have to submit to his will. That can be very scary. We like control. We like to be in charge of our lives, where we're headed, how things can be, and making all the decisions and mapping it out. Again, I'm a planner, organizer, so this is one that has been in my life. I've had to face the fear of submitting to God, the fear of losing control. When we do fear that submission, or we do fear losing control, we will never accomplish his will. Why? Because we'll always want to hold on. We'll always want to make those decisions. Oh, nope, I'm going to check with my logic first, or my thinking first, God, or my plans. Oh, nope, this doesn't align. If we don't get rid of that fear. I think of my folks, missionaries for 40 years, just recently retired. There was one time I was talking to my dad about the concept of mentorship and just asking him questions about his thoughts. And, you know, he said to me, you know, Phil, like, mentorship is a newer concept. And I've never as a young man had a mentor, so to speak, in the context of what we talk about mentorship. And he was saying, think about it. Here he is, a missionary young man working as a janitor. And at night, over third shift, God calls him, just a clear cut, you're going, you know, I want you to go to Greece. This is the 70s. They didn't have email. They didn't have, you know, FaceTime for when you get lonely in a foreign country. You can just say, hey, you know, I miss you. Or, hey, you know, Pastor, I need some advice. I don't know what to do. Yeah, they could write a letter. And it'd take, you know, with the Greek Postal Service, you know, the Greeks, just awesome people, lazy. Anyways, you know, to get all the way to the States, all the way back to Greece, you know, or, you know, you could, at that time, you know, call for like $5 a minute. Like, I got a really quick question, you know. But they were alone. It was him and God. Talk about a lack of control. About, yeah, you can plan, but you don't know what you're going to face. And they, man, the stories that they have and the spiritual things that they had to work through, I couldn't imagine. I'd be like, Pastor Roy, Bishop, what do I do? And here they are in a country they can't even FaceTime. They can't even email, quick email. It's okay, God, what do we do? I have to trust you. I don't have control of this situation, so lead me, God. Amen. Yet if they had feared giving up control in their lives, they would have never gone. The thousands that have been saved because of the ministry might never have heard the gospel. Why? Because they just said, you know what? Yeah, there's some control we're giving up. But we have to if we want to be empowered by God. Psalms 32, 8 and 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. But be not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. I'm not a horse guy. Bishop can speak more to this, but the horse and mule have to be forced to go one way or another based on the bit and bridle. But God will never force us to be led anywhere. We have to submit to that. He will never force us to be empowered. He may call us to be and challenge us and stir our hearts, but until we submit to his will of our lives, until we submit to maybe losing some control of all our plans, we have to overcome that fear and submit to his perfect will. So we've overcome our fear of vulnerability and what others will think and giving up control, and we're ready to do what God wants, and then we're asked to go. And this is where our opening scripture comes into play. The guy with the one talent was afraid of failing. Fear of failure will cripple the empowerment of God and lead us into inaction. You think about the guy with the one talent. He was probably looking at the guy with the five, the guy with the two, and thought to himself, I could never accomplish what they can because they have more than me and can produce more results than I can. But you see, the master never asked the one talent guy to produce the same amount as the five talent guy. He simply said, occupy, be busy, take action. And you see, before we are responsible as a five talent Christian, we will be asked to act on one talent. You want to be an amazing giver financially? Let's talk about giving. You want to be giving to the kingdom of God and have the resources to do so? Don't wait until you have the resources, because you probably never will. If you want to give millions, you have to give of your tens first. God will know that he can trust you, and he'll pour out a blessing in your life. And then you may have to give the hundreds, and then the thousands. And as you continually are faithful to God in the areas that you have, he will give you more. Matthew 25, 21, listen to this, the end of this parable. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. You've proven yourself. You've shown that you're not afraid to fail. You've just gone out and done what you can with what you had. And you know what? You've been faithful. I'm going to bless you more so you can continue that process. We have to overcome the fear of failure, of not measuring up, of not producing. There are many reasons why we have a fear of failure, but one of them is that we tie our value or who we are based on our results. Fiona wrote a blog the other day called I Hate Making Mistakes that spoke to this, and a shameless plug. I'd encourage you to go to her blog. Good stuff. She's a good writer. Let me read an excerpt here. She wrote this. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And she says, although the context of the scripture relates to fear of death and judgment, I believe it transcends to any fear, including fear of failure. So then, what does it mean to be made perfect in love? In this scripture, perfect can be translated as complete or finished. I immediately think of Philippians 1:6, which says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. To be made perfect in love means to allow ourselves to be completed by God. It means trusting him and allowing him to form us, fashion us, and make us into what he intends us to be. Ultimately, it means believing that he can and will finish us. Listen to this. Fear of failure says I'm a product of my mistakes, but being made perfect in love means I'm a product of the master. She finishes out, says, so today let's arm ourselves with forgiveness, humility, grace, faith, and love. Let's break the cycle of fear when it comes to our failures. Let's walk in confidence, knowing we can serve a God that is greater than our weaknesses. We have to give God the fear of failure. As we begin to overcome our fears and are being empowered of the Lord, the last fear that can cripple what God ultimately wants to do in our lives is the fear of the unknown. I've spoken about this many times throughout our adoption process, and use the scripture, Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It doesn't say a floodlight showing you every twist and turn and ultimately where you're going to end up. It's just for the next step or two. You don't know if he's empowering you to ultimately be a 800 horsepower twin turbo diesel truck. I don't even know if that exists, but it sounded cool. You don't know if he's calling you to be that or a little putt-putt scooter. But whatever he's empowering you to be, know that he's leading you one step at a time, one piece at a time. And if it's that putt-putt scooter, that's exactly what God wants you to be. And there's a value in that. All the diesel trucks are like, yeah, whatever. But there's value in that. All of us are like, diesel truck, psh, yeah, keep working on it. Someday you'll get somewhere because it's always broken down. Glory. Ooh. I'll take a drink for that. I love you, diesel truck drivers. Whatever he's empowering you to be, he's leading you one step at a time, one piece. You may settle in into what God has for you, where you're at, and he's completing that work, or he may keep adding pieces and adding pieces. And years down the road, you look back and think, wow, if I had known what God was going to do with my life back then, I'd never done it. And that's with this fear of the unknown, where are you leading me, God? I've said this before as a missionary kid. I never wanted to be a missionary, and I avoided asking God what he wanted me to be. Because I was certain he was going to call me to like Africa or something. And it's like, I am not going to Africa. Sorry, Carl, Cecily, you guys love Africa. And you went on a missions trip, but and Becca. But it's like, yeah, there we go. But I feared that as a kid because I knew what missionaries went through. And I'm like, I don't want that, Lord. And that fear of unknown could cripple us. What if God was trying to call me? Lord, don't get any ideas. But what if he is? Oh, Lord. Don't have a sense of humor. It's Proverbs 3:5. Love this passage. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. He's got it under control. Yeah, there's some unknowns. But he's got it under control. What do we trust him with? Our wisdom. In 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Trust him with our substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Trust him with your resources. Also in verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary out of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We need to trust him with the correction, course adjustments, the correction that he gives in our lives. Hallelujah. We need to give him that fear of the unknown. If you would stand with me. Matthew 14. Crazy story. Verse 27, it says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. This is where Jesus appears walking on the water to the disciples. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He said, come. And when Jesus was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus, powered. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. It's natural for us to have fear. And we bash Peter, or we cut like, man, you didn't have faith. But what if Peter hadn't done anything except feared? Would have drowned. That would have been the end of Peter. No Acts 2:38. But no, when he feared, he was wise enough to look at the one who could help him, and he cried out. Cried out to the one, reached out for the one who could save him. Said, Lord, save me. So you may be here tonight and have fear. Fear is a natural thing. We have it, and we being challenged, the concept of getting outside of our comfort zones, that can be fearful. The concept of giving our lives to Jesus and saying, whatever you want me to do, that can be fear. Well, what does that mean, God? Well, what friends do I have to change? What lifestyle do I have to change? What do I have to do? What if? Maybe God's calling you to a greater ministry than ever. Man, I honor Brother Dave Hopp, Brother James Hawk, who have stepped out in faith. In their, again, don't take this any disrespect, but in their age, still saying, you know what, I want to do more in God. And now are pastoring Daughter Works. That's challenging to me as a young man. Like, okay, it's always, God, what you have more for me. And so whether it's vulnerability and you admitting, God, I feel this call, but I don't know everything. And so, God, I'm going to come down and pray and give my heart to you. If you're brand new here, if you're struggling with substance abuse, if you're struggling in a marriage or parts of life, that direction in your life, just saying, God, I don't have everything together. I'm just going to be vulnerable. Come down. Give that fear to God. The fear of judgment. You know what? If you're here to pray with folks and you're going to judge them, just don't come up tonight. Do that another service. So everyone who's fearful of judgment, you know now, anyone who prays with you tonight is not going to judge you. God's not going to judge you. He's going to work through your life. That fear of lack of control, submitting fully to God, just give that to Him. Cry out to Him. If you're sinking with fear of failure, fear of the unknown, give that to Jesus. Say, Lord, save me. He's going to power you. And as we go into this empowerment series, I believe if we can just get these fears into God's hands and let Him work in our lives, we are going to see empowerment like we've never seen before here at Calvary Gospel Church. As they begin to sing, I want to invite you to come to the front, find a place to pray. There will be people here who will pray with you, will help you, talk with you, pray with you. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I encourage you, come on this side to your right, and there will be folks who will lead you. Amen. The empowering power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It will change your life. Won't you come and pray? Find a place to pray. Of your great name, all condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Of your great name. Hallelujah. Won't you come? Won't you give that fear to the Lord? Hallelujah. Let Him work in your life tonight. At the sound. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was saved. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great. Your